accusations and insinuations.
The Democrats want open borders and they don't mind crime.
President fires up his base.
Get your asses out tomorrow and vote.
Thousands watch a destructive wildfire.
We've been living with our hearts in our throats.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. President Trump talked tough on border policy before a supportive crowd in South Carolina, but a new move appears to ease off some on zero tolerance. White House correspondent Major Garrett begins our CBS News team coverage.
The president jumped on some Democratic calls to abolish immigration and customs enforcement.
Democrats don't like ICE. They don't like Border Patrol. They don't like your police. The Democrats want to protect illegals coming into this country.
And even though funding remains in doubt, there came the familiar border wall chant.
Build that wall! Build that wall!
And promise.
It's not build that wall anymore. It's continue building that wall, because we're building it.
Hours earlier, the president struck a more empathetic tone about separated families at the border.
We want children staying together.
But mixed administration signals continued as Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the zero-tolerance policy for border crossers remained.
We're going to continue to prosecute those adults who enter here illegally.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House. Despite the Attorney General's insistence, the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection told reporters yesterday his agency will stop referring to the Justice Department parents who bring their children across the border illegally. That's so families won't have to be separated anymore. The White House is sensitive to the concern that many in the president's base will view this as a return to the policy derided as catch and release. Spokeswoman Sarah Sanders suggested any such move would be temporary and a response to the reality of the situation.
We're not changing the policy. We're simply out of resources.
This is Steve Futterman outside the Port Isabel Detention Center. This is the main processing center to reunite children and their families. We are not being allowed inside. We are being given very few details. The last report said around 2,000 children still need to be reunited with their families. We've not been told any specific time to expect all these reunifications to take place, but we've been led to believe that some of them may take months.
CBS's Maria Villarreal is in El Paso, where she spoke with parents separated from their kids who are now desperately trying to find them.
First they took her son, then they took her to jail.
Edie's tells us she was separated from her six-year-old son after they crossed the border. She believes he's in Arizona.
She says she's tried several times to try and talk to her son, and that has not happened.
Edie's was released from a detention center and is one of 32 immigrant parents staying at the Annunciation House in El Paso.
The average length of this time that the parents have been in detention was 25 days.
Taylor Levy is the legal coordinator of Annunciation House.
91% of the families, the parents who we spoke to, have not personally spoken to their children since being separated.
We toured a tent city in Tornillo, Texas, where 326 teenagers are being housed. The Tornillo facility has been open for nearly 2 weeks, and in that time, the Department of Health and Human Services tells us 70 children have been released to family or sponsors.
We've established where the parents are almost immediately.
Mark Weber is with HHS.
Overall, these kids are connected with their parents.
But Annunciation House Director Ruben Garcia disagrees.
I have 32 parents here that will say to him, that is categorically untrue.
It's primary day in seven states. President Trump's trip to South Carolina was a bid to boost incumbent Republican Governor Henry McMaster. He resorted to a mixture of fire and flattery.
You're better. You're more loyal. We have the greatest base in the history of politics.
The CBS News political consultant Leonard Steinhorn says it's important for the president that his endorsed candidates win.
Donald Trump will then go to the Republican Party and he say, the voters like me, they want my endorsement, I am popular. That's one way to stifle any sort of objections to Donald Trump or any dissent within the party.
Mitt Romney got Mr. Trump's backing in his U.S. Senate primary today in Utah. Romney, a former critic of the president, now says administration policies have exceeded his expectations. In Northern California, it's dry and conditions are rugged as fire crews battle a wildfire that's destroyed 22 homes and other buildings. It's got 3,000 people out of their homes. Charwin Ward's one of the lucky ones. He thought for sure his home would be gone.
I'm ecstatic. This is everything I've ever had, and I put everything, my whole life, into this place. And I can't believe these guys saved it.
California's governor declared a state of emergency in that area. A fire captain in Long Beach, California, died in the fight to put out the flames at a high-rise facility for seniors. But it was a gunshot wound, not smoke or flames, that killed him. Police say a 77-year-old man set his room on fire and then opened fire on the crew that responded. Fire Chief Michael DeRee.
Firefighters across the region, across our state, and across our country right now are putting themselves in harm's way in service to their community.
Two others were wounded in that attack. It's been revealed a major telecom company has had a long association with the National Security Agency's surveillance efforts. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
The investigative news site The Intercept says it's identified eight AT&T buildings around the country that host NSA surveillance technology and personnel, monitoring billions of emails, phone calls, and online chats inside the USA. No comment from the NSA. AT&T will say only that it complies with all laws requiring it to provide information to government and law enforcement entities. Steve?
In Illinois, 50-year-old Anthony McDaniels was released from prison yesterday after serving 10 years of a 12-year prison sentence for a gun conviction.
How's it feel to have walked out of there?
Feels good.
He's the latest of some two dozen people to have convictions tossed out. Their cases were brought by a unit headed by a former Chicago police sergeant found to have framed suspects. Late night TV has more than its share of humor directed at President Trump. He's now taken aim at two talk show hosts.
I mean, this guy on CBS has no talent.
At a campaign rally in South Carolina, the president went from Stephen Colbert and The Late Show to Jimmy Fallon, who's bemoaned his hair mussing segment with candidate Trump.
He apologized for humanizing me. Can you, the poor guy, because now he's going to lose all of us.
Fallon responding on The Tonight Show.
Melania, if you're watching, I don't think your anti-bullying campaign is working.
Fallon opened the show by calling the president his number one fan. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Well, a TV syndication company says it's working on an interview show with former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer as the centerpiece. Called Common Ground, the show aims to have respectful conversations, it says, about a whole array of subjects. And that's the World News Roundup for Tuesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.